This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. The Supreme Court on Tuesday upheld a Michigan referendum that banned the use of racial criteria in college admissions. This comes less than a year after Fisher v. University of Texas. And is this the end of affirmative action? Is affirmative action ending soon? Could Texas have a similar referendum banning racial criteria in college admissions? If so, how would you vote? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Or you can also email us your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org or tweet us at the TPR Source on Twitter. And joining us to discuss this new Supreme Court decision, Melissa Hart is a professor of law at the University of Colorado and is director of the Byron R. White Center. And Selena Moreno is a staff attorney at MALDEF, the Mexican American Legal Defense and Education Fund. Welcome to The Source, both of y'all.
Thank you.
Melissa, can you tell us sort of like what are the facts of the case? What is this Michigan decision about? Shooty, what is it about?
Well, it's a hard case to explain in some ways. Essentially, the voters in the state of Michigan passed as an initiative banning the use of race-sensitive admissions policies in higher education. And they did this following the Supreme Court's decisions in Grutter and Gratz, a couple of 2003 decisions that had said race-sensitive admissions are constitutional. After the Amendment 2, the Michigan Initiative, passed, a group of citizens brought a lawsuit saying that that initiative was unconstitutional because it improperly restructured the political process in a way that targeted racial minorities. So it's not really about affirmative action at schools. It's really about whether it's okay to take decision-making about affirmative action away from the regents of the schools and give it to the citizens through the initiative process.
Sure. So I get that it's not really directly about affirmative action, but it's going to impact affirmative action, don't you think?
I honestly don't know that this decision will impact affirmative action. The justices in writing the decision went far out of their way to say this is not a case about the constitutionality or policy value of race-sensitive admissions. This is really a case about this political process argument. It is true that because the justices said it's okay for voters to vote on these initiatives, we might see initiatives like the Michigan Initiative come up in other states. So to that extent, it may have that impact.
So Selena Moreno over at MALDEF, do you think that the Supreme Court just gave Texas the roadmap to get rid of affirmative action on college campuses here?
I think that, as Professor Hart mentioned, the Supreme Court went through great lengths to acknowledge that that the case at hand doesn't even impact the Fisher versus University of Texas case that's currently underway, and the court said that it doesn't disturb the principle that consideration of race and admissions is permissible, provided that certain conditions are met. Texas does not have the referendum process the way that Michigan does, but neither do I think that the Texas legislature will shift course from the path that it's currently on, which is using a blended approach, both the top 10% plan and race-conscious admissions. I think it's determined that it's good policy to do so.
Right. So we don't have a referendum process like they have in Michigan, but we do have frequent constitution amendments, and the legislature could propose something and pass it using the a political process, and then put it before the voters in that way. Selena.
Yes, that's certainly a possibility. I just honestly don't see that happening. I think the state of Texas and many of its universities, including the University of Texas, has time and time again reaffirmed that it has a compelling interest to diversify its classrooms. There's a lot of reasons why the state as a whole, not just minority applicants, but the state as a whole benefits from a diverse student body. When we're talking about an increasingly diverse student population and the trending that demographer Steve Murdoch has predicted in the state of Texas, we know that the state of Texas and its leadership are going to be dependent on a workforce that's competent in working with a diverse set of individuals. And I think that when we're talking about who the leaders of the state and what the future of the state looks like, we have to start at the university level and training our university students to be able to work with a diverse set of students.
Okay, let's go to the phones. The phone lines are open. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. Andrew has called in. Andrew, welcome to The Source. Go ahead. You're on the air.
David, thank you very much. As far as discrimination goes, it would be nice to think that discrimination doesn't exist anymore. However, as we've seen from several people in the news and who are holding public office or in some kind of position of authority, if discrimination, pretty much people are just going to discriminate against lower income people in school, so that if they don't have the ability to pay, then that will just make it easier for people who can pay to go to school, and that's not fair to those who have a hard time getting the money together.
Okay, Andrew, thanks for that call. So, Selena, it seems like Andrew's talking about basically a de facto discrimination. If we're making it so expensive and so difficult to get into universities, that is a barrier as well.
Yes, and actually Justice Sotomayor kind of touches on some of the sentiments that Andrew was sharing in response to some of the other justices that were writing for the court in the Shewitt decision. She says that some of what they're saying is out of touch with reality, and race still matters in part because of a long history of discrimination and minorities being denied access to both the political process as well as institutions of higher education.
All right. So we're talking about the recent Supreme Court decision upholding that a Michigan referendum can be used to ban racial criteria in college campuses. We welcome your phone calls and your email questions. You can email us at thesource@tpr.org, and you could call us. The phone lines are open. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. And this is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the future of affirmative action, looking at some recent U.S. Supreme Court decisions. The most recently, the one on Tuesday, it upheld a Michigan referendum that banned the use of racial criteria in college admissions. Our guest, Selena Moreno, she's a staff attorney at MILDEF. Also, we're joined by Melissa Hart, professor of law at the University of Colorado at Boulder. So we've talked a little bit about Fisher v. UT Texas. Melissa, can you kind of explain where we are on that? Because it's not clear.
On the Fisher case, yes. So last year, as you know, the United States Supreme Court said that Texas's current plan, which has the combination of the top 10% plan and some limited consideration of race, among other factors, for some of the admission spots, may be constitutional, but that the lower courts hadn't applied the right analysis in evaluating it. So the Supreme Court sent it back and said to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, you need to look at this again, and you need to ask the university to explain how no system other than a system that considers race will work to achieve the diversity that you want. So back in, I guess, early January, I think, the University of Texas argued to the Fifth Circuit explaining that the use of the top 10% plan alone had not been sufficient, that limited consideration of race for some of the admission spots was necessary to achieve that constitutionally permissible diversity, and we're just waiting to see what the Fifth Circuit says.
So we're still in a holding pattern, even after it's been over almost a year now. It was in June of last year.
Yep. And you know, it's always hard to predict how long decisions will take from courts of appeals, but if it was argued in January, I would expect that within the next month or two, we should get something from the panel. Of course, whichever side loses can once again take it back to the Supreme Court if they decide that they want to. So Fisher may be the case that next answers the affirmative action question, just as it was the case that last answered the affirmative action question.
So, Selena Moreno at MALDEF, how concerned are you about what's going to happen with Fisher at the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals?
I feel confident that the University of Texas' current policy, the way that it considers race, it has a very narrowly tailored and limited consideration of race in its admissions. In fact, it's race is just one factor of a factor of a factor, and it's in a holistic review of its applicants, which is, you know, a requirement under Supreme Court precedent that students be looked at on an individual basis, and I think they are under the current policy. So I'm confident that the current admissions policy of the University of Texas will be upheld.
Our phone lines are open if you want to join the conversation and talk about affirmative action. If affirmative action has been of benefit to you and your family, if you think that its days are over, give us a call. We'd love to hear your comments, opinions, thoughts, experience. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. And so, Melissa, going back to your earlier point about how this recent Schutte decision was not really about affirmative action, but more about who gets it was about making decisions in power. So some people have called this actually a blow to civil rights, because now you're allowing majority rule to make a decision about racial issues.
I've heard that, and I do think Justice Sotomayor's dissent gives a pretty passionate statement about how the decision seems to not recognize the persistence of racism in our society and in our politics, and I think that's true. What I would say about whether it's truly a blow to civil rights is that the set of cases that the Sixth Circuit relied on in reaching its decision is a set of cases that has almost never been used. So this is not one of a long line of cases where something has just changed dramatically. This was sort of an unusual narrow doctrine that was used occasionally. And in fact, the plurality, the main decision of the court, did not get rid of this doctrine. So I think actually civil rights leaders should take heart that this is a pretty limited decision.
But does it show a leaning of the Supreme Court that could be alarming? I think that the majority has been called out of touch because of this decision, Melissa.
I do think that is correct, that the decision reflects what has been reflected in many decisions in recent years, that the majority of the justices on the Supreme Court appear to think that racism is no longer a problem in our society. They appear to think that everybody's on an equal playing field, and that does ignore the realities of the way the rest of us live.
Right, and so, Selena, there has also been some criticism saying that this will politicize even more so affirmative action, because now we have this component where you can have a referendum or an election on whether or not to have race-based admissions. And so even in you made it seem like you had a lot of faith in the Texas legislature, but, you know, this could become an issue, become more politicized.
Well, I think that's certainly true. And my faith in the Texas legislature is not infinite, but there already are seven other states in the nation that have similar bans. But again, you know, Texas has chosen not to go there, and for good reason. I think that Texas sees the writing on the wall. We know where the future of our state is going, and we need to make sure that we have an educated workforce and a workforce that can work with the growing Latino population, for one example, and that leaders are really seen, as the Supreme Court has said, as legitimate in the eyes of the citizenry. We want leaders that are not educated in a bubble, that can work with a diverse set of people, and I think that's something that the legislature has not. They haven't gone there, I think, for that reason.
Okay. We have been talking about affirmative action, looking at a recent Supreme Court decision and what's happening in Texas as well. You're invited to call in. The number is 614-8980, and Robert has called in. Let's get Robert on the air. You're on a source. Go ahead.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
The original legislation as passed for the United States Congress states clearly and emphatically that affirmative action in the United States was not to be permanent. Affirmative action was to last only until the vestiges of past discrimination, not future, past discrimination, had been eliminated.
So you're saying that is now? We're at that point now?
I am saying that. I'm saying that this is a normal process as written in the law, and it's interpreted by the courts, that ultimately, when those vestiges of past discrimination in the United States had been eliminated, and we're talking about back in the 70s, of course, at that point, there would be no more need for affirmative action as it stands in the United States. And that's certainly not Robert saying that. That's the legislation itself as was passed by the United States Congress.
Sure, but it does take some interpretation as to figure out when the vestiges have been erased.
It does. But it's talking about the past, the vestiges of past discrimination up to the point when the legislation passed. I think that's something important to understand.
Okay, Robert. Well, thanks for bringing that up. We appreciate your phone call. So, Selena, any reaction to Robert's points?
Well, I think in the Grutter versus Bollinger case that the Supreme Court came down with just over a decade ago in 2003, you had Justice Sandra O'Connor writing for the majority and saying that, we should look at, we as a court should look at whether we still need race-conscious admissions policies, and we should look at it in 25 years. And so I think that's one reason why some of us that are involved in the Fisher versus University of Texas case felt that case was certainly premature. When you look at Texas public schools, more and more they're becoming resegregated, and so I certainly think that there are continue to be vestiges of past discrimination. But I think one of the things that the Supreme Court says is that the compelling interest that it's talking about is not about remedying past discrimination, but about a compelling interest to diversify a student body.
Okay, let's get John on the air. He's called in. John, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, my question is, why not eliminate any sort of discriminators that would hint at someone's race, kind of like what Malcolm Gladwell proposed for courts, to try to take away race from the equation?
Okay, John, let's get our Melissa to reply to that. Melissa, take away race completely. Make it blind. Maybe look at just income or something like that.
I think that the reason for race-sensitive admissions policies, there are actually many reasons. One is the continued inequality in access to education and the opportunities that education brings. And that inequality starts from an early age and has socioeconomic backgrounds, but also racial backgrounds. The discrimination that people of color still face in our society and that affects their opportunities is significant. And so the idea of moving to a colorblind society is, I think, a very bad idea at this point. Colorblind is just blind in a world where race matters. And as Justice Sotomayor said in her dissent, and as I think is just deeply true for those of us who live in the world, race.
Okay. That call seems to be cutting out. Well, let's get another caller on the air, though. Sammy has called in. Real quickly, Sammy, we're short on time.
I just wanted to chime in and say that back to what the school districts, you know, in Texas, we just have such a vast disparity of wealth of state. And, you know, not all of us get to go to school in Westlake or, you know, the really nice school districts. And I think that affirmative action is really important to students that do face that, you know, lower standard of education in many school districts across Texas.
Okay, Sammy, appreciate your call. That was good points. So, Selena, I mean, is there a difference between affirmative action and just having race as a consideration and just having that factored into a formula?
I think the term affirmative action has meant different things at different points in our history. I think right now, I think earlier I mentioned the University of Texas policy, considering race as a factor. I mean,
so it's not the whole solution. You just don't get a free ride based on, you know, your ethnic background, your racial background.
No, and that's not the university's policy.
Right. You still have lots of opportunities, lots of ways to deal with it. And there's still going to be lots of issues coming up as we wait for more results on Fisher v. UT. Thank you so much for joining us. Selena Moreno, she's a staff attorney at MALDEF, the Mexican American Legal Defense and Education Fund. We also had on the line Melissa Hart. She's a professor of law at the University of Colorado. When we come back from the break, we're going to be talking about fuel spills into the San Antonio River. What's happening with that? This is The Source on KSTX. Stay tuned.